Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And tonight is the Manhattan City Commission meeting at 7 p.m. at City Hall. They'll have a briefing session at 5:30, and we're going to get a preview of tonight's meeting with our regular guests, both gentlemen in studio with me here. Ron Fear, City Manager, joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And Mayor Wynn Butler, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Brandon.
Pleasure to have you both in here this morning, and it's been a busy week here in Manhattan from ever since last Thursday when we got the announcement of the new president, and then we had the parade, all the festivities this weekend. Manhattan's just been kind of a buzz this week.
It has been a bustling time, so that's a good thing.
That's right. We're the holiday destination, all kinds of events, and there's more this week. Just check the CVB website. There's links to all the different things taking place.
Yeah, and of course, you're heavily involved with all that, and I thought the parade was fascinating. We had good weather. It was a great time downtown Friday night.
Oh, definitely. That's probably the best weather we've had in 10 years for the parade, and a great turnout. There are people all along the street on points and, you know, down in Aggieville. It was great.
Yeah, and we were talking here before the program started. Sounds like business is hopping downtown, and that's good to hear. And really, that's good for the whole bottom line here for the city.
Well, definitely. And that was the idea. You make Manhattan the Flint Hills destination for the holidays and for Christmas, and get people down here, hit the stores, shopping, shop local, hit our restaurants, entertainment district, and I think it's working out good. Lots of people out there in the holiday spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hope that continues here. And I know we had the revenue report come out, I think, last week. The weeks are kind of going by so quickly here. Last week was November.
Right.
Now we're in December.
Right.
Another good report this time around.
It was very, very good report. Pleased with it, and really looking favorable on the trend as compared to what we've had the last few years. But for the month of November, we were about 63,000 over what we budgeted, and for the year, that's about 654,000. So, really, the only 3 months that we had less than budgeted. So all the other months exceeded that. So that's certainly a great trend. Overall, we were up about 7.55% from 2020, and even up 5.65% over 2019. So that's showing some good recovery there. And keep in mind, this is for November revenue. That's essentially September sales. So that would have been the start of the school year and back in person. So I think that certainly helped us compared to where we've been. And so we're appreciative of that. And then, of course, the other thing that's happened in the last year and a half is the compensating use tax continues to go up. That's the online sales tax that's been collected, and that certainly made a big difference in that overall total revenue scheme for sales tax.
Yeah, and that's a nice year, probably especially this time of year with the holidays. And I know my family, we do a lot more of the online shopping than we probably ever used to, but that's nice to be able to collect some tax dollars on that as well.
It is, and that was really carrying us for quite a while, but it's also good to see our own local brick-and-mortar stores getting back up to where they were, so that helps a ton.
Absolutely. Well, good to hear that, and it's nice to be reporting on good revenues rather than the downturn that we saw for a little while in 2020. I've had a chance to drive through the city over the weekend, went to a few different places. I know that 14th Street has opened back up there by Manhattan Christian College. It was briefly closed yesterday, I think, but has reopened since.
They're making good progress there, yes. The traffic signals, new traffic signals, both at 14th and Anderson, and also at 14th and Laramie, those are functioning. Laramie Street is still closed to the east of there between there and Manhattan. There's business access there. Finishing up some sidewalk work there at the intersection of 14th and Anderson on those curb ramps and new sidewalks in that particular area. And so Laramie there between that half block of Laramie between 14th and Manhattan will continue to be closed until the parking garage is complete, anticipating that to be complete and then open for use next spring.
Okay. It looks like it's getting really close. I think I saw, you know, for, at least from the outside, I don't know what the inside looks like, but it looks like it's really close.
It's come along really well, and that's also, we've had good weather. That's helped a lot of that aspect of the concrete pours and the finishing and the brick and mortar work. So, yeah, it's come along very nicely. There's still some interior finish work to be done and equipment and that sort of thing to be put up, but it's making good progress, no question about it.
On the ground level, have there been any tenants that have signed up to use any of the space there?
Not yet. So that's something that we've been visiting with the commission about. We will have some space there on the Laramie side that will be dedicated to the parking management staff that will occupy just a small area of that. We're still exploring RCPD substation on that side as well. And then the Manhattan space, there's been a report released by the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce suggesting that that would be a good use for some entrepreneurship type space, startup space. And one of the things that certainly we've been sensitive to Aggieville is we don't really want to put anything that's going to compete with the businesses that are going to, that are trying to recover. We also have a lot of construction that will continue. The next phase of Aggieville, actually it'll be on the next agenda, will be the work on Manhattan Avenue itself. We briefed the commission recently on the plans for that and plan to do that in about three segments, three different phases, starting this winter, and it'll start down at Fremont Street and work its way north eventually to Bluemont. So a lot of work there, a lot of more some inconveniences for some of the businesses, and anytime you're redoing. One of the big things we're doing there is upgrading all of the utilities. So we've got undersized water lines and old water lines, and replacing all of the service connections to the businesses, upgrading those services. So there's, and whenever you do things like that, it tears, you have to tear up a lot of the existing street and sidewalks. So new sidewalks, new streetscape, new roadways, all of that would be part of that plan. So trying to keep it so we can get that going and then get access to the parking garage while we work on some of those other phases within Aggieville itself.
I think people would be really surprised to learn just kind of how old some of that infrastructure is, not just here in Manhattan, but just in a lot of cities in the older parts of the community. Some of those water lines are probably 150 years old.
Yeah, I don't know that we've got many in use that are quite that old, but many decades for sure. Mm-hmm. And they were built much smaller then. So we know we don't, we're challenged for fire flows, having adequate fire flows in the full of Aggieville. There's old trolley tracks underneath Morrow Street. You don't have to go too deep to find those. So those are just some challenges that you work on as part of that. So, and those are things we know about. So it's the things that we don't know about that usually surprise us a little bit.
I did not know we had a trolley down there. That's, of course, not having lived here only 3 years, but I did not know that.
There is. Yeah, it went from downtown to Aggieville, which has been revived by ATA seasonal bus service here for Christmas on trial run.
That's true, yeah. The loop process that was has been working out pretty good. Got some good riders on there.
Awesome. Glad to hear that. I saw there's been some other changes that I know for December in terms of billing. I was going to ask you about that. I kind of forgot about it, but some new changes to the online payments.
We have. So the old system that we had was no longer going to be supported after January 1st. The company that we had been doing business with to provide that service will no longer support it. So we worked on this new Paymentus program. We've had some rough transition there, and it is a change in some of the policy that exists there, and you can't do some of the things that you used to be able to do. This is likely going to be also a temporary in-between situation. We're looking at replacing our mainframe system, which will likely have its own system, which will be much better, but this is an online payment platform system. Historically, the commission has been absorbing, the utility has been absorbing the convenience fees for folks that use their credit card or debit card. And in that discussion, we elected not to do that in the future. And so if you pay with those credit cards, you're going to be charged that convenience fee. There is a provision for a bank draft. If you have your bank draft that's automatically done, it's a much smaller fee for that. But if it's a one-time bank draft, at least temporarily, that's the system that's set up that does charge that small fee. Of course, you can still come in and pay in person or the Dropbox or mail it in. So those are some options. But yeah, we've had some challenges there. But if folks are having difficulty with that, I just encourage you to call our customer service office, and they can help walk you through that and how to set up that transition.
Now, if folks are like me and they have the auto draft each month, do they need to change?
They something? Do not. So okay. If you're on the automatic bank draft, the system will switch you over.
Okay.
Well, Ron says challenges. I think system's terrible. I'll just be blunt about it. I got on it one December because my wife tried to use it. She gets frustrated quickly with electronic things, and it's a walk-in disaster area. I just won't pull any punches on it. And I send information to staff on it.
All right.
I think we got to take a real hard look at that. And what really disturbs me is I couldn't get a picture of my bill. You know, you look at auto payment and you try to figure out, okay, how much did I pay for water? How much did I pay for sewer? How much did I pay for stormwater? What was my fee for DigSafe? What was my levy charge? None of that's present there. And so the old system, unfortunately, that company, you know, went out of business and left us holding the bag, far superior to what we have now. And then the other thing that disturbs me, I must have gotten 15, maybe 20 emails complaining about this starting 1 December because people are up in arms over this fee and are saying, well, we're going to start paying manually because we don't want to pay $2.23, you know, every month to do it. And the issue with that is, you know, I've been trying to push paperless for years. Let's go paperless. Let's do auto payment. This thing seems to be working 100% against us on that because people are saying, to hell with it. I'm not going paperless now because you're charging me $2.23. So I think we got to stand back, take a real hard look at this. And as Ron says, if it's just temporary, we're going to another system. Well, I think we got a lot of upset customers, and I think there's some real issues with the quality control of that program. And I don't want to see all the water customers up in arms about, you know, having to pay $2.23. But even my wife told me, and I got no problem paying $2.23. It's not going to break my bank. But my wife says she's going to pay manually because it irritates her. And so it's not necessarily not necessarily funds that people can't afford to pay it. They just don't want to, and they think their water bills are too high anyway. So I've sent a lot of replies back to people saying, hey, we're going to take a look at this. And I know Jason fixed one of the problems last week, which when you try to do the automatic bank thing on 1 December, it charged you. And that I think was changed a couple of days ago. So at least you can do that now. So that's a partial fix.
All right.
And we are working on that statement so that the customer does have access to all that detail, which they have had and they need to have. So we're working on a solution to be able to do that. And again, we certainly have had some stumbling blocks with it and apologize for that. And we'll try to make it right. The issue becomes on the convenience fee. It's pretty typical that government services pass along that convenience fee instead of the utility absorbers. You know, in retail, everybody pays it just because it's a cost of doing business and it's in the retail price of the item. And so, you know, and not everybody uses that debit or credit card to pay. So if you put that in the price of the water, then people who aren't using that service or that convenience, everybody's paying it. So those are the issues.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's also a case of, I don't know, if you do a study, does it cost you more to manually process it? Like if people don't want to pay $2.23 for the convenience of the credit card, what does it cost the city to process it if I ask for a paper bill that you got to mail to me, and then I write a check and drop it in the box behind City Hall, which I used to use in 1978, 79, that's really antiquated. You know, back in the day when I used to manually pay my bills, how much does it cost for customer service to process that? And then how much time does it take? Like, are your customer service people spending more money handling water bills than they would if you did it automated? And so there's really got to be a cost-benefit analysis to see if it's effective there. But generally, I agree, we got to pass it on. Like municipal court, if you pay your parking ticket fine with a credit card, you're going to get that service charge. And if you go to Riley County Courthouse and pay any bills and try to use a credit card, they put a hefty charge on top of it. And so, you know, that is normal, and Ron's right. The problem is, does it make sense on this water bill thing if it causes that much irritation? And maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But we need to take a look at that.
All right. Certainly is something that will be addressed here, it looks like, going forward. So thank you guys for commenting on that. Sure. We'll take a quick break. More In Focus in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.